Our text this morning is St. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And your fellow redeemed in Christ, Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth. These four women had something in common, and perhaps you know what it was. All of them were unable to have children. Two of them, even into their old age, were unable to have children. Sarah and Elizabeth. In a miraculous way, God intervened for each of them so that they were blessed with a son. But God used their husbands in the normal course of human relations to bring about a pregnancy and the birth of a son. The barrenness of these women was reversed. Sarah and Abraham had Isaac. Rachel and Jacob had Joseph. Hannah and Elkanah had Samuel, and Elizabeth and Zechariah had John. Mary also was in the category of women who could not have a child. But Mary's inability was not unusual. In fact, it was normal. She simply had never been with a man, as she told the angel Gabriel in Luke 1. She was a virgin. But Mary will be given a status beyond that of any other woman. She was the one foretold 7 centuries earlier by Isaiah, the very prophecy quoted here by Matthew. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And we are then told she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. St. Luke expands on this in his gospel, in his first chapter, when he wrote, Then the angel said to Mary, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The virgin conception and birth of Jesus is confessed by the Church. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That confession is based on God's revelation to us of the miraculous conception of Jesus here in Matthew as well as Luke and foretold by Isaiah. This unique conception of Jesus is one which has drawn the ridicule of many. Some have tied it to the supposed virgin births of the great men of the ancient world, especially Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar. Others have labeled it simply the legend of the virgin birth, due in part to the general rejection of the miraculous and also a feeble understanding of the importance of the meaning of this truth of the virgin birth. Well, what is this importance? Well, there is much to it, and we certainly cannot address it all here. Volumes have been written on this topic, but several initial points are to be made. First, look at how the prophecy of Isaiah is directly applied to Mary. She is the virgin, and then directly to Jesus. He is Emmanuel. That three-syllable word, translated as God with us, gives us the comfort of this conception and birth for us. It is one the angel would emphasize on that first Christmas night when he proclaimed to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." This conception and birth ties God, the second person of God, to our humanity. As one verse in my favorite Christmas hymn put it, "He whom the sea and wind obey doth come to serve the sinner in great meekness. Thou, God's own Son, with us art one, doth join us and our children in our weakness." Jesus joins us and our children. Why is this intimate connection with us necessary, this taking on of human flesh and blood? And why is it good news that he does so? Again, look at the words here in Matthew. The name of the Son of Mary is Jesus. And the name means he will save us from our sin. Sin is one of those naughty words of the Christian church that the world hates. And even we Christians often find it an annoying word, to say the least. It is hated because it is the truth about us revealed in Scripture. We are not what we should be. We defy God. We are even born and conceived sinful and unclean, enemies of God. We need rescue. Jesus rescues us. That is why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Martin Luther gives us one of the classic explanations of just what it means to have God become man for you. We Christians should know that if God is not in the scale to give it weight, we on our side sink to the ground. I mean it this way. If it cannot be said that God died for us but only a man, we are lost. But if God's death and a dead God are in the balance, his side goes down and ours goes up like a light and empty scale. Yet he can also readily go up again or leap out of the scale. But he could not sit on the scale unless he became a man like us, so that it could be called God's dying, God's martyrdom, God's blood, and God's death. For God in his own nature cannot die. But now that God and man are united in one person, it's called God's death when the man dies, who is one substance or one person with God. The cross is the destination for this baby born of the Virgin Mary, and he journeys that lonely way to the cross for you and me. He is literally God with us. This is the great truth of the Christmas season, that God loves you so much that he would enter his own creation being a real man, God incarnate. This is a truth basic to the Christian faith, to the salvation God has promised. The seed of the woman foretold in Genesis 3 now comes to the world, born of the Virgin Mary. And he comes for you, for your good, for your salvation, to give you compassion and not anger, joy and not sorrow, and to give you life and not death. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.